you're here. Fellowship sweet up, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. It's November 16th, 2012, and we've been pretty pumped up here.
Yeah.
Covering a lot of different topics. I think that's one of the best things about having you as a friend and a co-host on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, and now for the next weeks, months, maybe years, being available on Friday as we talk about the Book of Ruth. And we'll get to that in just a minute, but I want to give a couple announcements and a sneak preview into some of the things that are happening, even at your church on this Sunday. But as mentioned on Wednesday, we're going forward with our special meet and greet at the Olive Garden Restaurant in Champaign on December 4th. Thank you, Jason, for working with me on that application for various artists or authors that want to be a part of that special meet and greet. We're going to have that whole back room where I think we can fit up to like 20 or so different artists or authors. They'll be able to do book signings or share some of their special artistry, whether it's through their paintings or watercolors or their cards of expressions with different photographs and such. And we're going to have a whole wide range of different artists and authors, so we'll be announcing those in the coming days. But we're excited about the Olive Garden allowing us to have that special Great News Radio meet and greet. They will discount all the entree, dinner entrees, $2.50. Basically, it works out to be about 10 or 20% off your total bill. So everyone that comes out between the hours of 5 and 7 p.m. on December 4th, that's a Tuesday night, will be eligible for that discount. We'll be able to see all these Christian artists and authors, purchase some of those Christmas gifts maybe. And Jason, I think you're going to be there maybe with Tasha.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think Joey Kroll and his wife Aubrey are planning on attending. I'll be there kind of playing the master of ceremonies, along with making sure that if somebody comes alone or somebody may be widowed or singled or their spouse can't make it, we'll set you up at a table with some other lovely Great News Radio listeners. So feel free to come out alone, and we'll get you seated with other friends, or you'll make some new friends. And that's all happening on Tuesday night, December 4th, at the Olive Garden Restaurant in Champaign. And if you're an author or artist and you want to be eligible to maybe show and share your wares, you need to fill out an application. So those can be accessed by calling us at 217-367-7777. Maybe we'll have that posted on the website. But at this point, give us a call, 217-367-7777. And the application has many of the details so that you can then decide if you want to be one of our Christian authors or artists. Now, this Sunday, before we jump into the Book of Ruth, I know you're going to be providing, you and your church family, a Thanksgiving meal after the church service. So for those that have been tuned in the last few weeks hearing you divide the Book of Ruth, they can come and see you live and then stay for a Thanksgiving meal, I believe?
Yeah, 10:45. We're going to be worshiping and praising God and just lifting up and exalting His name. We're going to be studying the third chapter of Ruth. We'll go through that whole third chapter, really just how Jesus makes provision. And I think I named the title of the sermon, Jesus is a Better Leader. And then directly after the service at noon, we're going to have a free Thanksgiving meal. We're going to have turkey and stuffing and all the trimmings. And that's open to the public. We'd love to have you come worship with us, study the Word of God with us, and then feast with us. And then after that, we're going to decorate for Christmas so you can stay and get your Christmas spirit on. So that's going to be at 10:45 and then noon. And then right after the meal's done is when we start getting our Christmas on.
Now, this Sunday, you'll be teaching and preaching on the Book of Ruth, chapter 3.
Yeah.
So we'll probably get to that around about August, September of next year.
Next year. So you can come and do it and you won't miss anything, because by the time we get back to it in the radio, I mean, totally.
You will have forgotten what was even said and shared, because we'll be maybe starting in verse 3 of chapter 1 today. And
maybe, God willing.
In just a minute. And then one last final announcement. All next week, we'll have Joey Kroll and Jason in the studio. We'll be talking about various hymns, researching some of the story behind why they were written, how they've been used to God's glory, and what is some of the meaning, or what's some of the things that we've learned as we've studied these various hymns. And then we'll pick out some arrangements that go along with the hymn that we'll be dividing each day. Probably I'll take Monday, you or Joey will do Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Thursday, Friday. So we'll do that all next week, a special kind of Thanksgiving week of studying the hymns together. So hopefully you can tune in. Mark and Friends is heard at 7:32 a.m. with a 7:32 p.m. re-airing, and that's 8:32 a.m. NPM for our great Indiana listeners. So let's turn to the book of Ruth, everyone. Grab your Bible. If you're driving, don't grab your Bible, but at some point, maybe reference back to this program. It will be archived at greatnewsradio.org. And if you've missed the last 2 weeks, we started with an overview on the book of Ruth 2 weeks ago, and last week we talked some more about verses 1, 2, and 3. And so I believe we'll begin around verse 3 this morning.
Yeah, and a little bit of just revisiting so that we have some context for some people who are just coming into it. It says that this is in the days of when the judges ruled, or in Hebrew, the judging of the judges. And we see that the judges ends in verse 25 of chapter 21, and it says, "In those days Israel had no king, and everyone did as he saw fit." And that verse right there just encapsulates what was happening at that time. There was no king, and everybody just did as they wanted to. And just think about those people that you know who don't have a king in their life. They do as just as they want to and not as they ought to. So it's a powerful verse on multiple levels.
And there's also something, let me point out, because a Jewish friend tuned in to one of our programs and emailed me, and he was encouraged about the story of Gideon in the book of Judges, because Gideon, like many of us, the least likely, somebody that didn't think like, "Lord, how could you use me? I'm not, you know, powerful. I'm not super gifted." And yet God does have that capacity when we avail ourselves to him, when we are open to him working in and through us, he can do supernatural things. So the book of Judges has some unique people that turned to God, that allowed God to work in and through them, but it was a collection of many characters, you know, including Samson and some that made some very unwise decisions. And thank you, God, that he's the one that's faithful, that he always has a remnant, and he's always looking for all of us to surrender ourselves to him so we can be effective. But these were during times when everyone did kind of their own thing.
Yeah, the book of Judges, I often think of that quote from The Tale of Two Cities. It was the best of times and it was the worst of times. There was both places at one time. But we know that Israel had no king, and everybody did as they saw fit, and the judges ruled, and there was a famine on the land. And 19 times before the book of Ruth, a famine on the land means God's judgment upon the land. And that's what's happening here in the beginning of Ruth. As God's judgment has come upon the land of Israel, and particularly Bethlehem, and this man Elimelech, whose name means "my God is king," and this woman Naomi, who is pleasant and sweet, and their two sons Mahlon and Chilion, they decide by their father's direction to pick up and move to this land of Moab. Now, that might be okay, except for the Bible is quite clear in Psalm 60 and verse 8, where God declares, "Moab is my washbowl." God says, "Moab's the place where I wash my feet." And we know that Moab comes from that incestuous relationship between Lot and his daughters. In fact, the word Moab means "my father," and all God's people said, "Yuck." But going forward here, we see that they should not have wanted to, or nor should they have gone to Moab. But as often happens in our own lives and in the lives of Scripture, God doesn't waste a thing. God doesn't waste a moment. Even in our own folly and our own going down the wrong path or the wrong direction, God uses it for his glory when he calls us back. And that's what's happening here in the book of Ruth. And now it says, "The man's name was Elimelech, my God is king, and his wife's name was Naomi," which means pleasant and sweet. She was a beautiful, probably pleasant, sweet, great woman. He was blessed to be able to have her as his wife. And unfortunately, his name means "my God is king," but he doesn't believe that in his heart. And instead of following the scriptures and turning his family back towards God in judgment, I mean, God is making judgment on the land, instead of turning back towards God, instead of doing that and then his neighbors doing it, instead of him orchestrating a movement of repentance, he picks up his family and he moves to Moab. He thinks about his stomach instead of the scriptures, because it says in Habakkuk, if there is no fruit on the vine, if there's no olive on the thing, if there's no cattle in the stall, if there's no any of this, if there's nothing, and I'm paraphrasing, will you still exalt and glorify God? Will you still say, "My salvation is in God"? And Elimelech does not do that. And so he leaves. And he plans, the scripture kind of alludes that he plans to stay in Moab for just a short amount of time, enough so that they can get some food, enough so that they can be okay. But the intention of the family is to return. And yet the scripture tells us that they were there for 10 years. So their momentary jaunt into Moab turns into a How about this? Their exodus turns into a long-term vacation, a staycation. How about that?
And how many? Verse 4.
Yeah. And how many times have you done that? Have you said, you know, I'm just going to go here for a season, and then you get there and you get comfortable and you get kind of fat and you get kind of you fall asleep at the wheel, and then suddenly 10 years passes and you go, oh my word, what happened here?
Or we just dabble in a sin, you know.
Yeah.
It's that whole process where we look at it, then we entertain it. Next thing you know, we're involved in it, and then we're captivated, and then we're hooked.
Right. And Scripture doesn't list in here anywhere where Elimelech says, God, what do you want me to do? As happens so often with the people of God in the Bible, there's no mention of Elimelech seeking God's heart and asking for God's direction so that God could guide, order, and lead his steps. Instead, Elimelech moves to folly, and God orders his steps out of that sin, and out of disobedience. God orders his steps. And I think I said it last week, I hammered it like a nail, and I do it again. Is it the men out there? How are you leading your family? Because Elimelech took this wife who was sweet and pleasant and two boys that he had, you know, which were the pride of the Hebrew and Israelite families, and he moved them to a place where there was no church, there was no Bible study, there were no good women, good Christian women to rub shoulders up against, there were no, you know, good God-fearing kids for his kids to get to know. There was none of that.
And in that case, good Jewish women,
yeah,
good synagogues around.
Yeah, I mean, there was none of any of that so that his family could continue. They were like a ship out at sea with nothing. I mean, and that was supposed to be successful. That was supposed to be good for his family, because first and foremost, he should be worshiping, praising, following, and leading into the presence of God. And he's gone to a place where he can't do any of those things. As I said, Elimelech chose to leave Bethlehem to find food rather than dealing with the sin issues which the people were being judged for. And he brings his family along for the ride. And it says in Ruth 1:3 that they remained there. And that's the Hebrew word hayah. And it means a long period of time comes and passes. Again, their temporary journey has now turned into 10 years. He thought he was just going to take a rest, and he accidentally hit that button on the Lazy Boy chair where it reclines and the heater turns on, and he fell asleep at the wheel. And the irony is that Elimelech was seeking to find life, yet he arrived in Moab only to find death. Elimelech sought life in the wrong things, and he found death, because it says, now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons, and they married Moabite women. One, I love butchering this one, one named Orpah, I call her Orpah, her name's really Orpah, and the other Ruth. After they had lived there for about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. This is like a country western song right now. I mean, things are just getting going from bad to worse.
We just got thrown a gun, yeah, a rifle, and a pickup.
Yeah, what you didn't get to hear is the dog died. You know, I lost my dog, I lost my house. Now, what's interesting is Moab is not listed among the seven Canaanite nations in Deuteronomy 7 that you can't intermarry with. So even though God has a distaste for Moab, he's not listed as the specific nations you can't marry with. But we knew that there was idolatry there. There was worship of false gods, Chemosh. By marrying these women, they were bringing this into their house. And obviously, I believe, certainly making concessions. Now, what's really interesting is that these sons married these Moabite women. Now, Ruth means friendship, which we understand as we look over the book of Ruth. And then Orpah, that means fawn. So kind of fawnish, dainty, I don't know, hunting season. It's hunting season right now, so I don't know if that's good or bad. And then you have the two boys, and it's Mahlon and Chilion. And Mahlon means sickly and unhealthy, and Chilion means weakness, wasting away, or failing. So we know that these two sons, they fulfilled what their name meant. Sickly and wasting away, unhealthy. They died. By the way, let's just stop for a minute. Right away, let's take those two names and put them on the list of things that we never name our kids. Okay? I mean, could you imagine that? You go like, hey, and remember that in the Hebrew language, when somebody said, this is my son Mahlon, you know, people would have said, sickly? Unhealthy? This is my son Chilion. Wasting away.
Yeah, what a terrible name to name.
Could you imagine that? Could you imagine I met you for the first time and I go, hey, here's my daughter Ebola and here's my son Swine Flu. Like you to meet the family. I mean, it what a horrible name. But the names in the book of Ruth have so much meaning. Now, what's fascinating about the book of Ruth now, and now we begin a section here where we have Naomi and Orpah and we have Ruth discussing, because there's nobody else left. Everybody else is gone. The men are gone. And all there's left is three women and lots of talking. You know, Ruth has 85 verses. 55 of the 85 verses are talking.
And this is where God really was stretching you some weeks ago as you were preparing this whole series.
I counted it because I'm going, seriously, it's women just talking, especially this section here where they're just talking and they're going back and forth. And I'm going, what is up with this?
Too much communication.
Now, right away in verse 8, Naomi says to her two daughter-in-law, she says, go back each of you to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that of each of you, that you'll find rest in the home of another husband. You know, Naomi here is praying for Ruth and Orpah. She's praying for them. Some of us might read this and go, this is her just kind of speaking. No, she's praying for them, the may the Lord. She's invoking Numbers chapter 6, you know, may the Lord bless you and keep you. She's speaking that. And that language comes back again throughout the book of Ruth. There's consistently people praying for each other. In fact, a fascinating thing about the book of Ruth is nobody prays for themselves. Read through the book of Ruth. Everybody prays for somebody else. Nobody ever goes, Lord, may you help me. And by the way, Naomi and Ruth are going to need some help coming up here. They are going to need some help. But they never pray for themselves. They pray for other people.
And we've talked about that on the air in the past. But that's kind of been a Hebrew tradition that even Jesus taught when we go, Our Father in heaven, and many times. And I love sharing this with different people. The Hebrew tradition, it seems, and maybe even today, the Hebrew practice is when you pray, say you need a job, Jason, I would pray, you know, Lord, provide a job for Jason and all of those that are seeking employment. If somebody needs, you know, medical treatment, Lord, bring healing, bring the right doctors, allow their medical expenses to be paid for, and all those that are suffering with this kind of illness. And it's just that concept that we don't just pray for ourselves or just for that one person. We pray for all those that may be afflicted or, you know, in that same kind of circumstances. And I love that concept. And it's really revolutionized the way I pray when I pray for certain people. I try to be more inclusive. And it's not just about me or just about them. It's about all the people that are struggling.
And powerfully, all the prayers in the book of Ruth that are prayed not for themselves but for other people are answered. At the close of the book of Ruth, at the end of chapter 4, all the prayers that have been prayed within the book of Ruth come to fruition. God answers those prayers. So the book of Ruth tells us that God is, he answers prayer. And God moves by providence. You know, some people read this and they go, oh, it's just happenstance. These things happen. No, there's no such thing as happenstance. It's called providence. God is orchestrating, moving, reconciling, redeeming, saving. He's relentless. So Naomi, she says she prays for them. She tells them to go. They go, oh, we want to go with you. And then she goes, no, you know what? I'm bitter. She says in verse, it's more bitter for me than for you because the Lord's hand has gone out against me. She's mad at God right now in verse 13. And it says at this they wept again. And then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. And it really a great picture there in verses 13 and 14 of the differences of faith that Orpah, she was a professing faith. I love you, Naomi. I want to be with you. No, no, I'm bitter. Leave. Okay, I'm gone. And then Ruth is a persevering faith. She says, go away. I'm bitter. Leave me alone. I'm going back to Bethlehem. Just leave me alone. And Ruth clings to her. Ruth does not leave. Ruth is a persevering faith. And Naomi says, look. So she kind of pulls her away and she goes, look, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her. And Ruth says this. She says this. It's one of the great moments of the Bible. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. And then it says Naomi realized that Ruth meant business, and she stopped urging her. Look at what would it be like? You know, and I counsel a lot of married folk. What would it be like if married folk remembered this verse if those of you out there who are married, who are struggling in your relationship, or maybe just going through a tough season, if you memorized this verse, and when you looked at your wife or your husband, you said, where you go, I'm going to go, and where you stay, I'll stay, and your people will be my people, and your God will be my God, and if I die, I'll just die here, and you know what, if I'm wrong about the whole thing, the Lord will deal with me, but I'm not going anywhere. You know what? Because when you say that, when you memorize that, when that becomes your mantra, you fight differently because you fight for the right things. You know, I read recently regarding the book of Galatians. And Galatia, if you would see it, it's built on this indefensible plane. It's flat. You could conquer it day and night easily. But the Galatians were actually not conquered the most of that region. You know why? Because when they went out to go to battle, they brought their wives and their kids out with them. And they'd kiss their wives and their kids, and then they'd turn around, and they'd fight the enemy, and their wives and their kids would stand there and watch the battle. And the whole time they were fighting, they would look at their wives and kids, and they would know that if I lose today, they're going to get taken captive, she's going to become someone else's wives, my kids are going to become somebody's slaves. I won't give up. Because when you take a verse like what Ruth says here, when you look at your family and you count that cost, you fight differently. Because look at Orpah, she was out of there. And Ruth fought differently. And I would just challenge couples to do that. Because you know what? Just like Naomi says, for many of you out there, there's somebody in a relationship who's bitter. There's somebody who's just had enough, who's tired, who's frustrated, who's irritated, who doesn't know which way to go. And Ruth gives us a great picture of persevering faith. First of all, persevering faith in God, but then persevering faith in relationship. Mm. That where you go, I'm going to go, and what you do, I'm going to do. And you know what? I'm going to love you to death, and if I'm wrong, let the Lord deal with me. But I'm going to deal with you with grace and love and bring you hope, because that's what God's called me here to do.
I love Naomi's prayer and desire for these two. May you find rest. Yeah. And may that be true of you today as you draw near to God, as you read through this book of Ruth, as you study it with us, that God will grant you rest. Rest for all of time through that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day, night, weekend. And for those of you that don't have a church home or can come out at 10:45 this Sunday to the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, Illinois, there'll be a great service. We'll be studying the book of Ruth, chapter 3. And also following the church service, there will be a great Thanksgiving meal free for everyone. So come on out and enjoy food from the Word and a great dinner buffet after the church service. Have a great day, everyone. Have a great weekend. Keep listening to Great News Radio. Mm-hmm.